And he gets up and he says, I'm going to say the same thing that I say by every Sheva Brachos. And for many, many Sheva Brachos, I tuned out at that point. But then I said to myself, you know what? If he's saying the same thing over and over, he's probably saying something important. He said the following. It's based on Ramchal. He said that the reason why Hashem created marriage in this world is because if there's a mitzvah of Ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha, you're supposed to love the Ribbono Shel Olam. Well, how would I ever understand what it means to love somebody? So Hashem said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a human being that you can love. And now that you understand what it means to love someone, now now love the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all a mashal. Everything we do is so we can connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Reb Noach Weinberg said something beautiful, that before you put your children to sleep, he said, if you want to teach your children Avas Hashem, lay down with them at night when you put them to sleep, sing them a song, and then ask them, who loves you? Daddy loves me. And who else loves you? Mommy loves me. And who loves you even more than mommy and daddy? Hashem. Yeah. Even more. Lo hayu yamim tovim bi Yisrael. Like Tu B'Av and Yom Kippurim. Tu B'Av, not a well-known day. The 15th day of Av. It's a day that the Gemara tells us that the girls would go out and they would make shidduchim, make marriages. And that was the day of ultimate happiness. Ultimate yontif. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that when a husband puts a ring on the finger of his wife, underneath the chuppah, the ring is the letter Samach. A round circle. Lo hayu yamim tovim bi Yisrael, like Tu B'Av. Tu is Tezvav, is 15. B'Av, be'aleph beis. The 15th letter of the Aleph Beis is the letter Samach. The most beautiful letter of all, the Yifas Toyar, Yifas Maneh, the one that shows us that our lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a marriage. That it's not like a oil, it's not a yoke, it's not just a responsibility, but there's a relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we are married to Him. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. I'm currently in the process of writing a book. I should have the Siyata Deshmaya. I'm writing a book on Rav Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. I just returned from Eretz Yisrael, and the night before Rebbetzin Altuski lost her husband, Rav Scheinberg's daughter, Rebbetzin Altuski, told me the most beautiful thing. Rav Scheinberg and his wife were married for almost or more 80 years. When do you get your wife for a 79th anniversary? Is that a garden hose? No. And towards the end of Rebbetzin Scheinberg's life, she was a terrible balas yisurin. She suffered terribly. Towards the end of her life, she was in the hospital, and then she became unconscious. And Rav Scheinberg, who was over 100, would visit her every day in the hospital. Every day. And she's unconscious. For weeks. And finally, one of the nurses said, you know, Rabbi, you don't have to come here. She has no idea that you're here. And Rav Scheinberg said to her, if I was coming so she could see me, you'd be right. But I'm coming to see her. And I was thinking, Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam comes to see us as we lay in our slumber every day. And the Satan says, you don't have to come. They don't see you. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, if I was coming so they could see me, you'd be right. But I'm coming so I can see them. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam loves us with such ahava that even though every year we find ourselves in this position where we're stuck with the Samach HaSoyger, but he's there for us, waiting for us to wake up, to just look at us, to see how beautiful we are. If you would know, practically speaking, that every time the man of the house comes home and he's upset, depressed about work, lacking confidence, that an encouraging word, that a loving, kind gesture, that a special supper, that a night out, half hour for a ride or a walk, would mean the world to him, even if he's not in the mood. To be the Samach HaSoyev. It's as a spouse. And as a parent, how patient is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with all of our faults and all of our shortcomings. A mother once came to Rav Scheinberg, very upset. Her husband wasn't seriously ill, but he had hepatitis. She came to speak to him, and then as she was there, she said, I want you to know, and I'm very sad. He said, what's wrong? She says, I don't love all my children the same. Why is that? Well, one of my children is struggling. And whenever I see him, all I see is Agmas Nefesh. Misbehaves in school, struggling with his Judaism, with his Yiddishkeit. I'm sad. Rav Scheinberg said, I want to come visit your family tonight. I want to visit your husband. He's not well, I want to visit him. Rav Scheinberg would visit his Talmidim. So he comes to visit. And they're all dressed up in their Shabbos finest. And Rav Scheinberg walks into the house and he immediately spots the child that's struggling, the middle child. And he looks at him and he points to him and he says, did anyone ever tell you that you have the most beautiful blue eyes in the world? the woman, the mother who retold the story, said, immediately, a transformation began to take place on my child. It didn't happen overnight. But more importantly, I changed forever. Because whenever he caused trouble, whenever he gave me agnes nefesh in school, I would look at him, and as soon as I looked at him, all I could see were his beautiful blue eyes. I never saw the agnes nefesh in him. I never saw the difficulty. If we would tell our children, really tell them, how beautiful they are, every day. And it's okay, we all lose it, every once in a while. But you can apologize to your children for getting upset. You realize that we are im kibonim, im kavodim. We have different types of relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are the wife, the spouse. We are the child. And how good does it feel to know that your parent loves you, no matter what? That the Rebbe Yisrael looks at each child, kisheshana ben achoichim, like the rose amongst thorns. And every child has thorns to him, but every child is a shoshana. And kisheshana ben achoichim, to see the beauty, to see the beautiful rose that we are. We're also best friends with HaKadosh Baruch. For some reason, that gets lost in translation. My whole life, and maybe yours, I would imagine, we're not taught that. We do a very good job of teaching our children and our students Hashem, the Punisher, lightning, thunder. I taught in a Talmud Torah type of day school. Most of the children were not Shomer Shabbos. And I said to them, draw a picture of the way you think Hashem conducts himself with us. 21 out of 22 children drew a picture of someone or something punishing something else. What a tragedy. If that's the way irreligious people view the Rebbeinu Shel. But what's even more tragic is, I think many people who are Shomer Torah mitzvahs view the Rebbeinu Shel that way. But he's our most loving friend who you can tell anything to. You can talk to him, you can schmooze with him. I had a neighbor who was nifter about 12 years ago. Reb Chaim Shapiro wrote a book called Go My Son. Fantastic book, a best-selling book. An amazing person. He had a different type of relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel. He told me, he says, I remember after the war, I'd lost my family. I had a cousin that was struggling and I promised him we'll be okay. And he went through Gehenna and back. And he says, I remember I walked up to the Kaisel. And I said, oh, don't you do that to me. But that's a friendship. That's love. That's understanding that the Rebbeinu Shel is real. It's understanding that the Rebbeinu Shel is in a relationship with us. Everything revolves around us, each one of us. There used to be a show on TV called The Electric Company. If that's my sins, I'm okay. Maybe it was Sesame Street. But one of the songs was, "You're the most important person in the world to you." Maybe it's still on, I don't know. You're the most important person in the world. It was a great tzaddik, the Gadol Hador, his name is Reb Chaim Moshe Grudzinski. Right before the war, he was nifted in 1939. Towards the end of his life, Reb Chaim Moshe was not well. It was the Rav of Vilna. Vilna was the Jerusalem of Europe, or Litha, of Lithuania. It was a hustling and bustling city. Hundreds of thousands of people. Reb Chaim Moshe was the Rav. The rabbi, he has to be there. This is a busy season. Reb Chaim Moshe is there. He starts not feeling well. The doctor says to him, "Rebbe, you have to go to Marienbad." Marienbad was like a vacation place. People needed to rest up. They would go to Marienbad for a few days. So he says, "Will I be back for Elul?" "You have to go. You're not well." He's there in Marienbad. And then, it's coming closer. It's almost Slichus. He says to the doctor, "I got to get back." The doctor's a firm person. He says to "Benishmartem ma'ol l'nafshei seichem." You have to take good care of yourself. You think you just have to take good care of your spiritual self? Also your physical self you have to take care of. You're here. I couldn't leave. "Rosh Hashanah, I got to go back. I'm sorry." Can't understand it. What's the Almighty's plan for him? 2 days before Yom Kippur. 2 days before Yom Kippur. A bareheaded gentleman walks into the synagogue in Marienbad. Chaim Moshe comes over to him. "Shalom Aleichem. Who are you?" "Long story, Rabbi. Trust me. You don't want to know. Tell me." "Well, I grew up in Europe. Poverty stricken bothered me very much. My parents told me I could go to America. If only they knew. I left everything in Europe. I went from being an apprentice to being a manager of a company to owning the company. I'm a very wealthy man. One day my brother sends me a letter. We've fallen on hard times. Let's reconnect. Please send me a monthly stipend." Sure, I felt connected to him. For months I sent him money. And then he tells me, "I've been diagnosed with an illness. Could you up the ante, send some more money?" "Sure, no problem." Then my sister-in-law sent me a letter. "Your husband died. Your brother died. My husband died. And I'm telling you that we can't make it. Please continue to send us money." "Of course. I was never married." And she suggested, after a number of months of writing letters back and forth to each other, "Do you want to get married?" So, I was sending money for her and her children. I figured, I'll marry her. And I started to prepare for my journey to Europe to bring them back. And on my way here, to where she lives, I started not to feel well. And I thought, how's it going to look for my sister-in-law, the widow, if her prospective husband doesn't feel well? I figured I'll rest up in Marienbad for a few days. Chaim Moshe looks at her and he says, "Eishes och! You can't marry your sister-in-law to Aveda. If you never had children, there's a mitzvah of Yibum, a levirate marriage. But if you had children, you can't marry." He says, "Who says?" "I'll show it to you in the Torah. We're going to read about it in 2 days from now. Yom Kippur, by Mincha, we read it. About all the forbidden marriages." "I don't believe it." what's it going to take for you to believe me? You know what it's going to take? When I was a child growing up, there was a genius, a tzaddik. His name was Reb Chaim Isaac Brzezinski. If he comes here today and tells me that I can't marry her, fine. Chaim Isaac says, that's me! Right. Ask anybody. I don't believe that. Goodbye. I don't believe it. He walks out. Chaim Leiser knows this is why he's here. Comes Kol Nidre. He's not there. Reb Chaim Leiser looks around. There's a few Jews in Shul. The man's not there. Shachris. Musaf. Davoida. He's not there. Comes Mincha, they take out the Torah, and Reb Chaim Isaac walks up to the Bima, and he turns around, and this fellow walks through the door. And he comes up to Reb Chaim Isaac. Reb Chaim Isaac puts his arm around him, and he says, let me show you. And he begins to read word for word what it says in the Torah. You can't marry your sister-in-law. The man starts to sob. He says, I'm not going to do it. And I want to tell you why I'm not going to do it. Who am I? A man who 30 years ago left all the traditions of Judaism behind. Why should God care about me? But look at what he did. He took the greatest tzaddik in the world, Reb Chaim Isaac Brzezinski, and he told him, you cannot stay in Vilna with the rest of the Jewish people. I need you in Marienbad, because some lost Jew is going to wander through the door and is going to need you to tell him that he can't get married to his sister. If the Almighty, if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam loves me so much, then how can I not reciprocate? And that's why I'm going to do tshuva. If only we realized that every little thing we do moves mountains, shakes heaven and earth. Two more stories. I apologize. I might be going a little bit late, but I promise they're worth it. The first one involves Reb Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf HaYomi. It's a story that I told maybe to 50 Rebbeim before the school year started. And I tell it to you because it's a story that could change your life. There was a fellow who davened like a regular guy. He learned like a regular person. He did his mitzvahs, he did his averis. When it came to benching, Birchas HaMazon, he was like the Gadol Hador. He was like the giant of Torah Jew. Every benching. He was an old man. So the Rav said to him, it just seems out of character. I don't mean to insult you, but it's not consistent with the rest of your behavior. He says, when I was a little boy, one day there's signs up all over the place. Tzaddik Bala here. A tzaddik's coming to the city. Who? Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro was touring all the little shtetlach in Poland, all the little cities and villages, to be mechazikid and to encourage them. And he's encouraging this person as well, this town as well. And he comes to the town and they dance him by the town's gates. And they comes to the cheder, to the school building. And everybody, the whole cities, the whole village is in that little cheder building. And he's talking to the kids and he says, children, I'm going to ask you something. There is one letter that does not appear in Birchas Hamazon. What letter is it? And just as many of you are looking and wondering that that's a very intriguing question, the children were very intrigued. Said there's one letter that doesn't appear. That is a fe soifis, an end of fe, the tall fe. Why? Said Rav Meir Shapiro, you know why? Because the word af, charein af, anger, shetzef, ketzef, destruction, tragedy, are all associated with the letter fe soifis, the end of fate. And the behavior brings lahalacha, and the Sefer HaChinuch from the Tashbats and others, that there's a special skula, that if somebody says, Birchas Hamazon, bench it, word for word, mila b'mila with kavana, no sorrow will ever happen to him. Not only that, but mizoynoisov mitsuyin loy berebach kol yom. He'll always have food to eat beravchus. He'll have plenty to eat. Won't struggle for parnas. I heard this, says the old man. I decided this is my thing. And I began to say Birchas Hamazon like I do today. A number of years passed and Rav Meir Shapiro is nifter. And the war comes. And my village was herded into a cattle car. And we were sent to Auschwitz. And after a few days we were taken out. And we were standing there with hundreds of others, walking towards the angel of death, Dr. Joseph Mengele, Yimach Shemoi V'zichra. And everyone's going to the left, to death. And as I'm getting closer and closer, I look up and I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Vosid Mit, Rav Meir's Havtocha, what happened to the promise that Rav Meir Shapiro made? What about the Tashbats? What about the Berhetiv? What about all the promises? No tzoris. I'm cashing my check right now. And I swear to you, I stood face to face. And the doctor looked at me. And he sent me to the right. While everyone else went to the left. Before and after. But I wasn't done. Because they sent me off with a small group. And a man comes over to me and he says, tell them you're the cook. And I said, what are you talking about? Trust me. Tell them you're the cook. I didn't know who the man was. They shaved my head. They gave me inmate clothing to wear. They branded my arm and they said, what's your occupation? And I said, I'm a master chef. I'm a cook. And they said, wonderful. Mizanoisov mitsuyin loy berebach. His food will be plentiful. He says, I will tell you that I ate every day whatever I wanted to the Gehenna of Auschwitz. You want to know why I daven with kavono? Birchas Hamazon. You want to know why I concentrate on every word? Who wouldn't? It's not a miracle. It's a fact that if we do for him, he will do for us. If you thank Hashem for food, He's going to give you food. If we tell the Almighty that we're not sleeping, that we don't want to be closed off, then He will be soiveg, He will find a way out for us all the time. And finally, a number of years ago, there was a group of yeshiva bachurim who went swimming. On a beach in Chadera, 7 of them went out. 5 came back. 2 drowned. One of the boys that drowned, his name was Eliran Dahan. Eliran was a ben yochid, the only child of his parents, who had him after 12 years of marriage, and now 29 years later, they had nothing left. By the Levaya, who can imagine the tears in Tzfat, hundreds, thousands of people came, and after all the maspidim, all those that gave eulogies finished, the mother walks up to the ark. And she says, Mechatanu lecha, Ribono shel Olam. What did we do wrong? Why did you take him away? But you are the Kol Yochol. You could do anything. Give him back. People, Nebuch, they're crying. Woman lost her mind. But she didn't stop. And everywhere she went, she told people, Daven that Hashem should give me back my Eliran. And throughout Shiva, people came and they walked out to Nebuch. And she bought a whole bunch of sidurim that she gave out to her class. She was a teacher, and she made her husband give out to his yeshiva, Daven that we should have Eliran back. Eighteen months later, with no medical intervention, at the age of 51 years old, she had twins, twin boys. And by the bris, the husband got up and he said, 18 months ago, our world was destroyed. And my wife got up and she said, Ribono shel Olam, give him back. And let's be honest, you thought that she lost her mind, and to be honest with you, I had my doubts. But she knew that no matter how tragic something may be, there's always hope. The Ribono shel Olam never lets go. And that is why today we have decided to name our twin boys David and Yonasan. To fulfill the pasuk, Yishalom beini uveinecha, bein zari uveinzarecha ad olam, Ribono shel Olam, we will never, ever, ever let go of you. You are our best friend, and we will never let go. And that is the bracha that I give you as a birchas hedyah today. No matter how entrapped and enclosed and suffocated we feel, we must know that there is Hu HaSoiveg. He will not let go of us. Soimech Hashem l'chol anoiflin. Let us be zoiche that the samach should be a slicha, a mechila, a kapara. And let us be zoiche to have a tshuva shleima. B'mheirav yameinu, amen.